Hi, and welcome to Sampler, the show where each week we play you handpicked moments from podcasts that you just have to hear. Usually, I choose clips that I want to share with you guys, but this week, my very special guest brought a bunch of clips to play for me. I'm here with CEO of Gimlet, host of the podcast Startup, and my boss, Alex Bloomberg.
Hey, well, thank you. It's an honor to be here on the show.
It's an honor to have you.
Very, very excited to be here. So I have a bunch of clips that I want to play for you that I've chosen because I think they're thematically related. The theme is podcasting's arrival. And the theme has to do with the fact that, like, in, you know, the last year, a lot of really, really, really big names, like astronomical names, mm-hmm. have appeared on podcasts. And to me, it signals the fact that this medium that has always had, like, a little bit of a, like, a Wayne's World association to it, you know what I mean? It's sort of like a lot of... You know, just like I'm in my basement doing my podcast or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm familiar with that.
Right. And then you all of a sudden you're with these Lux appointments now that surround you.
Exactly.
I know, in our very brand new studios. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So it was this very, very small, casual world for so long. But today you have these crazily huge guests showing up on podcasts. And so today, that's what I'm bringing you. I'm bringing you clips where these big names are making these appearances on podcasts. So the first clip I want to play for you is an appearance that I think a lot of people are probably familiar with.
I'll be talking to the President of the United States in my garage. It's crazy. It's crazy. All right, I'm about to cry.
Am I in the orange chair?
Orange chair for you, Mr. President. Who's staying in the room? We're doing pictures. Oh my gosh.
This is pretty cool.
This is the place. This is where it happens.
I like this, man.
You do?
I do.
The President of the United States was on a podcast. And I know everybody knows this. I know I made big news when it happened. It happened a while ago. But still, like, that is just so crazy. And this is like a podcast that was like, this is, so for those of you who haven't heard, the podcast was a podcast called WTF, which is hosted by the comedian Marc Maron. And it's a podcast where Marc Maron usually interviews comedians.
Yeah.
It's a pretty well-known podcast. It gets lots, really good ratings. But it was... You know, it was not the kind of place that was interviewing world leaders until last year when the president decided to stop by.
Yeah.
And what I love about this is sort of like, so I love a couple things about it. One is that it is this sort of like weird moment where like the podcasting's past is meeting podcasting's future. Because Marc Maron's podcast is still like that sort of like, he actually still records it out of his garage in his house.
Yeah.
It's a very, it's that very sort of old school podcast. He's got some rig set up in his garage and the president actually showed up there to do the interview. I think the other thing that I love about this, and it got a lot of press and stuff at the time, but what really came through for me is that there are these moments where Maron really cracks through to the president as a real person. And this is something that I think podcasts are uniquely good at. You know, you get to have these long conversations. They're not chopped up into 10 to 15 second sound bites that are going to go on television. You get to hear people in a different way, and they come through as real people in a way that they often don't in other forms of media. So I want to play you my favorite bit of that interview, which starts with this question from Marc Maron.
What do you do to have fun? I mean, like, I can't imagine what it's like to raise a family in the situation that you're in as president. It must feel sort of insulated.
You know, the biggest fun I've had is watching my girls grow up. And they are magnificent. Look, hopefully every parent feels the way I do about my daughters.
Yeah.
But I think they are spectacular. And when Michelle and I came into office, the biggest worry we had was, is this going to be some weird thing for them? And are they going to grow up with an attitude? Or are they going to think that everybody eats off of China?
Right.
And
are they?
And it, you know, it turns out that they've just become, they're kind, they're thoughtful, they treat everybody with respect, they don't have any kind of airs. They're confident, but without being cocky.
Mm-hmm.
They've got great friends. They've been able to You know, they're not stuck in the bubble the same way I am. Mm-hmm. You know, they go to the mall, they have sleepovers, they go to prom. You know, Malia's started to drive. You know, they're doing great. So my biggest fun has been watching them grow up. Now, unfortunately, they're now hitting the age where they still love me, but they think I'm completely boring.
Yeah.
And so they'll come in, pat me on the head, talk to me for 10 minutes, and then they're gone all weekend, right? And they break my heart. And so now I've got to start thinking, well, what's going to replace that fun?
Right. But the one thing you don't have to worry about is like, well, I hope they don't get lost.
That never happens.
Right.
I mean, what is true, you know, sometimes Malia, for example, as she got older, was starting to chafe a little bit about Secret Service.
Uh-huh.
And I had to explain to her, sweetie, let me tell you something. If you think that you'd be over at your friend's house until 11:30 and then I'd be coming to pick you up, you're crazy.
Right.
So the only reason you're out is because you've got a detail. Otherwise, you'd be home because I wouldn't be chauffeuring you around.
He sounds so much like my dad. Well, that's funny.
That was the thing, that it's like he's the leader of the free world, but he just sounds like me talking about my kids, or like, you know, anybody's dad talking about them. Like, he really does. I don't know. I mean, like, depending on how you feel about Obama, you might hear that and just think, oh, I'm just like hitting my talking points and I love my family and this is just what I said. But I don't know. Like, when I heard it, it really, you know, I have two kids and all those things register with me. Like, I worry about getting to the age where they're just going to pat me on the head and, like, you know, sort of not want to hang out with me. And I just also, that really resonates with sort of like the fun of parenting is simply watching your kids grow up. And like, that does become fun.
I mean, like, I don't mean to sound like what, but like, I don't have kids. So I'm always my best friend has a daughter now. And it's like crazy because she was like not there. And then she was very tiny. And now she's like bigger. And I think she almost can recognize my face. I like to believe she can recognize my face. And she like smiles now when she sees me. It's just crazy because those little incremental things.
Uh-huh.
But like, that's really like, that's the fun part, just watching them get older. Because my parents say that too. And I'm like, it has to be the tax breaks also.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, before I had kids, I was like, it looks like hell. It is hell from the outside. And then you're on the inside and all of a sudden you're just like, I don't know. You know how when you're in love with somebody and everybody's like, they're bad news. And you're like, but I love them. It's that. Like, kids are definitely bad news. Like, they are maniacal, psychopathic monsters. And they don't treat you well. And they just take. And they don't give you anything.
I still do that now. I still do it now.
Exactly. Like, it's not a good relationship. It's not a two-way relationship with your kids. I think it's so hard to sort of, like, actually see yourself in somebody like the president of the United States. You know, like, how can you possibly relate to anything? You're sort of at the top of the world and you've got like Secret Service everywhere and you're driven everywhere.
You're making these crazy decisions.
You're making these crazy decisions.
Like,
I think I'm so stressed out about my job and I didn't have to kill Osama bin Laden. You know what I mean? Like, that was not my job.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So it just seems impossible to even relate to somebody whose job that is. And then just to hear him talking in such a very, very relatable way to me as a father, just sort of, I heard, and I don't know if anybody, like, I don't know if you're not a parent necessarily heard that, or maybe I'm just hearing things that aren't there, but like, it was just cool to feel that all of a sudden, to feel like, oh, I can relate to this person. Are you ready for the next clip?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, of course.
All right. So that was Barack Obama. So that was the first huge name on a podcast. So then there was another sort of big name appearance on a podcast. I believe you heard this one as well. I'll play you this.
I hope I did. I'm nervous.
Pretty sure you did.
Well, before we get started, we saved you some bourbon. We don't know if you'll partake.
But I've got so much still to do. If it were, if this were the last event of my day, I would take you up on it.
Okay, well, rain check
next
it.
Okay, rain check.
And since you won't drink it, I guess I'll have to.
So you recognize those voices?
Yes, it's Evan and Tracy. And also Hillary Clinton.
Yes, exactly. Heaven and Tracy, hosts of Another Round, the awesome show on BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed.
Yeah. So the great thing about this interview is, again, the great mix of sort of like, you know, sort of a really much more context-filled conversation about policy, and then mixed with like some really amazing human moments that you don't see when they're making the talk show circuit or whatever. Mm. And that's something that really comes across well in this next clip that I'm going to play for you. So here's the setup. The hosts, Tracy and Heaven, are talking to Hillary Clinton about the state of the U.S. prison system. And in particular, they want Hillary's take on the role her husband's crime initiatives played in producing high incarceration rates here in the United States, particularly among African Americans.
What a lot of Black people are looking for is for you and or your husband to shoulder some responsibility in the crisis that we're facing now. So my question to you is, do you ever look at the state of Black America today? We can focus on the prison system for now. And regardless of what the intents were, like, I know that the 90s were like, it was a different time, you know, times change, legislation changes, needs change. But regardless of your intent, do you ever look at the state of Black America and say, wow, we really fucked this up for Black people?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. And my husband has spoken to this. He spoke about this at the NAACP just last summer. You always have to learn from what you do. I was interviewed by Al Sharpton the other day.
You know,
day.
So that's, so you, so you, tell me, why are you laughing?
Because it's the best question I've ever heard anybody ask Hillary Clinton. That's like the question that a lot of people would want to ask, but like, I feel like you can only ask that if you're in a medium like this. Podcasting reaches a lot of people, but it doesn't have the same establishment feel as like cable network news or something like that. So like if Diane Sawyer was like, Hillary Clinton, do you feel like you really fuck things up for Black people? Like people would be like, oh my God. Like, you know, that would be, it would be seen as like a huge sign of disrespect in a way and possibly something that could be scandalized. But like the way that Tracy asked the question, it was really well constructed and like she provided a lot of context and then was like, just came with this real humdinger of a question that like, I never thought I would hear like a Black woman my age ask Hillary Clinton that question in like legitimate setting.
I know.
That was really, really, really amazing.
When I heard it, my jaw like hit the floor. I was like, oh my God, you are so, like, I would never have like been able to muster the courage to ask that question in that way. Like if you listen to my raw tape, anytime I'm asking anybody anything interesting, it's like, and it takes me forever just to get to the point. And maybe they got that question edited too. I don't know.
Smooth.
But the other thing that I think was amazing about it is that like, yeah, if Diane Sawyer asked it or if it was on TV, there's this element of sort of performance anytime you're doing anything on television.
Yeah.
So if that question were asked, there would have been a sensational quality to it. And it would have been like, everybody knows, like, this is the moment where she uses the F word on television or whatever. And with that, like, because you can hear it, it didn't feel sensational to me. It just felt like it came from a very sincere place of like hurt.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel this and this is my experience and I'm really upset about it. And this is how I'm going to express it to you. And it didn't feel like sensational.
It just felt
like earned and like sincere.
It felt like a reasonable thing to ask at that moment in time.
All right. So here's the other thing that's amazing about podcasting, right? So then Hillary Clinton goes on to answer the question. And she sort of like says, you know, like essentially mistakes were made. This is what we thought we needed to do in the 90s. And now, of course, like things have gone too far and we need to put in policies to correct, you know, the excesses that have resulted. And like now in hindsight, we now know, you know, just sort of the basic reasonable sort of like technocratic Hillary style answers.
Yeah.
So then they continue the conversation. And then the most amazing part of this interview is what happens sort of later at the end. So they do this thing called the quick fire where they ask. They don't call it quick fire. They call it pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
Where they ask, you know, a bunch of just questions over and over again. One of them always has to do with squirrels.
Yes,
and,
it does.
And so they get to this section. And this was the one that blew me away, this thing right here.
In preparation for this interview, I watched a lot of your interviews. And I noticed you never sweat, like physically.
We are the sweatiest humans on the planet.
Like, I've done like a little bit of press and I get so hot.
I'm
TV
sweating
lights,
right now. I'm sitting
stage
still.
Lights. Like, what is your deodorant situation?
Well, first of all, you've only done a little bit. When you've done as much as
but
I
like,
have.
Like, what is your secret?
You know, my secret is just you do it so often. You didn't see me 40 years ago when I did my first one.
I don't mean like sweat because you're nervous. I just mean physically.
Lights are hot.
It's
lights
hot.
Are very,
I'm
very
genuinely
hot.
Genuinely curious what your deodorant is.
I just turned off the thermostat. No, I don't know. That's
do you have a spray situation? Is that a liquid? I'm
face.
I am not joking. I'm sweating right
solid,
now, guys.
Solid block. Solid. I like the solid.
Okay.
Yeah, solid
I
got to
work on the
better.
Solids.
Yeah,
okay. Right. This is an odd question that I lobbied for a lot because it's one of my favorite questions to ask people. If you don't have an answer, that's fine, but I will be a little sad.
Okay, Tracy. Jesus.
What's the weirdest thing about you?
The weirdest thing about me is that I don't sweat.
Yes,
obviously.
Best theory
obviously.
For Hillary's a robot, zero sweat.
See, you guys are the first to realize that I'm really not even a human being. I I was constructed in a garage in Palo Alto
a very long time ago.
People think that, you know, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, they created
it. They don't even know.
Oh, no. I mean, a man whose name shall remain nameless created me in his garage.
Are there more of you?
Now, I thought he threw away the plans. At least that's what he told me when he programmed me, that there would be no more. I've seen more people that kind of don't sweat and other things that make me think maybe they are part of the new race that he has created, the robot race.
Have you ever heard Hillary sound like that, ever?
No, I've never heard her sound. And also, not only that, like, the common critique of Hillary Clinton is that she seems robotic. And, like, to hear her sound funny, like, that was genuinely funny when she said, "What's the weirdest thing about you?" And she's like, "I don't sweat." I was like, look at Hills.
I know.
With the zingers. And, like, then after that, the whole extended joke about actually being a robot, I was like, oh, so you do know.
Coming up after the break, we find out how to fall in love with America's pastime from an unlikely source.
All right, so here's the last clip that I want to play.
Oh, there's only one more? I'm so sad.
Well, there's a couple more, actually. I have one more that I haven't queued up yet, but I can play.
Okay.
This is from a podcast that I sometimes listen to called How to Do Everything, and it's hosted by Ian Chillog and Mike Danforth. It's an NPR podcast that I've listened to for a while now. Mike and Ian are producers on the show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and they do this podcast, How to Do Everything, in their spare time. And, you know, ostensibly it's an advice show where it's just sort of like listeners write in with questions about how do I do this, how do I do that, and then they find an expert to help answer the listener's question. But I've been listening to it a long time, and I've never heard a question that I actually was wondering about, and the advice is always sort of like, it's basically just an excuse to have some fun, do something funny. I mean, I think they're real questions. They're definitely real questions from real listeners, but it's almost as if the listeners are trying to be as esoteric with their questions as possible. But then it's always really fun. Like, they just do a really good job of interviewing, and sort of like, it's always a fun time. So I'm just going to play this clip from one of their episodes.
Hi, this is John calling from Brooklyn, New York, and I want to know how to become a baseball fan. I've never been a baseball fan, but I want to become a fan for the rest of my life. Thanks.
That's a great question, John, and I think maybe the best person to help you is a fan.
Yeah, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, do you have any advice?
First, watch it on television.
What?
Yes.
Because she's on the speed dial, right?
Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Oh, gosh.
And I love the way also, like, Mark Maron's like, I'm sweaty, I don't know what to do. You know? And, like, and they're just like, oh, yeah, we got somebody for you. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Here she is.
It's just like, I think Sonia Sotomayor being asked about, like, baseball. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's not the first person that I have in mind when I think of baseball, but I'm excited to know this about her.
But she actually turns out to be the best. Listen.
First, watch it on television, and the TV announcers are going to hate me, but turn off the sound of the announcers and put on the radio announcers.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is the radio announcers, in words, have to describe what's happening on the field. And so, because you're not seeing it, the TV announcers are doing something else.
Right.
And if you're listening to them, they will explain the strategy of the game.
Uh-huh.
They'll tell you where the pitcher is pitching and why, outside corner, where, what the strengths and weaknesses are of the batter. You know, there's a whole analysis about every hitter. Where does he hit to? Which field? What's his weaknesses and what's his strength? And if you watch how they're setting themselves up on the field, you'll begin to understand that strategy.
Yeah.
In the end, for me, baseball is a moment to take a long, long breath because it lets you slow yourself down a little bit, especially if you come from a place like New York. You know, I lived in Brooklyn. It's as fast-paced as any of the other boroughs in New York.
Yeah.
And to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch a baseball game, you can actually smile.
And I think one argument that sometimes people make against baseball is that you look at a baseball team and it looks like a bunch of guys you saw in the bar last night. Like, unlike a basketball team, they don't necessarily look like athletes.
You know something? I've been privileged to have gone on the field with the Yankees a number of times. Oh. I think the world knows I'm a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
All right. I'm amazed. You're right. In their uniforms, they look, some of them look a little bit out of shape. Every one of them is buffed.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. They're really very, very athletic.
And don't the Yankees also have something of an advantage in the way that they look. They wear pinstripes.
Yeah, vertical stripes.
Which are slimming.
Yeah, but I've seen them in t-shirts and they're still muscular.
Okay.
She really sold me. And I don't like sports like at all. And I'll go to a baseball game and sit in the park or whatever, because that's fun, because there's like alcohol there, hot dogs, mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day. But like watching it on television, I'm always just like, why? So when she first said, turn a game on the television, I was like, okay, I know that you are a legal expert, but I don't know if you're an expert on hobbies. But then when she said to turn on the radio, that like blew my mind, because I have a hard time following rules and games. Like, it's too many. How do you remember them all? I'm not going to play to learn them. But like, also, that was a very meta thing to say on a radio show, if you really think about it. But like watching the game and then having it described to you by someone who's like trained at describing sports to people, but trained at describing sports to people who can't see what's happening.
Right.
It's like even much, much better than having like your friend do it. Or
right.
Like
it's like
your
watching
mom.
The foreign film and then reading the subtitles in English and like sort of learning the language that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's genius. And she has such a genuine love for the sport.
I know.
It tickled my heart. It did. It really
well,
did.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, is tickle your heart. I also just love that she called them buff.
When she was talking about them in the t-shirts, I was like, she and I have a lot in common. We really do.
There was this one How to Do Everything that was like so great that I remember. It was like this kid, as long as we're on the subject, that one of the questions I think was from this 12-year-old. She wrote in saying like, how do I carry my trapper keeper in a cool way? And
it could have been me.
It's so good. And maybe I'm going to try to find it really fast. I have no idea how I'm going to find this thing. Hold on one second. How to do everything, trapper keeper. Oh, here it is. How to look cool when you're carrying your trapper keeper. Okay, so this clip doesn't really fit in with my theme of A-listers on podcasts. But you know what? I just love the clip. So let's give it a listen.
In my experience, a trapper keeper is something you just kind of sling under your arm. It's pretty easy to carry. But is that what you're doing and it just doesn't look cool?
No, it doesn't look cool.
Yeah.
And sometimes I carry it like in front of me, like with your arms crossed around it. But mm-hmm. that makes you look kind of weak. Weak body language, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Is there in your class, in your school, and a kind of icon of cool? And if so, could you kind of describe what they, you know, how they carry themselves?
Well, actually, I'm sitting in my band teacher's room, and pretty much the coolest guy in our grade just walked in.
Oh,
His
really?
His name is Zach.
Zach.
And
wow.
He just, like, kind of, he's super cool. He always wears hoodies.
Okay.
Can he hear you talking about him right now?
No, he just left.
Okay.
He has a trombone lesson.
Well, he's the coolest guy, and he plays the trombone.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's he do when he has to carry his books and stuff?
The thing is, like, I don't notice, because you only notice when they look dorky what they're doing with their books.
Okay. Wait, so is he close enough by where you could run out and look at him and see what he's doing?
One second. He's probably playing the trombone, but I'll check.
Okay.
Okay, so he's watching like a band performance on the computer, and he's kind of like standing there with his hand in his pocket, and he's like a little slouched, but backward, not forward, and he's like looking at it like, yeah, that's cool, and I totally get it, and I could be that cool.
Yeah, I'm picturing it. It does, the lean back definitely looks cool.
Yeah.
Would it be possible for you to go up to him and hand him a trapper keeper and see what he does with it?
I don't know. I don't see one around here.
Any books? Any notebooks?
I don't know. I don't want to interrupt his lesson.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But the way I see it, he's going to have plenty of time to play the trombone. and you want to make sure you look cool.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
All right, we're going to hold here.
Okay.
I'm nervous right now.
I'm wondering, do you think we're going to get her in detention?
They're not going to.
Risk reward here is high on the reward side.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay. So, him and the teacher both think I'm crazy now, but what he did was he just, like, put it under his arm and kind of walked. So I think that's probably the way to do it.
Did it look cool?
It did look cool.
Really?
We carried it in a way where you, like, don't notice he's carrying it.
Was he still leaning back?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Well, I mean, do you want to try that?
I guess. Okay. This feels pretty good. Just gonna lean back. I think that's an important component.
Yeah, all right.
Well, thanks, guys. I think I found a good position.
Great. Thanks, Julia. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
I can't believe they were actually helpful. That was so cute.
Oh, I love that clip.
That's like such a fun age because it's like before kids kind of like lose their earnestness. You know what I mean?
I know. But they also just made the whole thing happen right there.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
That was the cutest thing.
I know. And you're so rooting for her.
Yeah.
And she does this thing and she's afraid and then she does it and she comes back and she's all excited. It's just so nice to like hear somebody like do something that they're afraid to do and then do it anyway.
Yeah. And also, like, they, like, weren't condescending. You know, sometimes when people talk to kids, they can be kind of whatever. They, like, took her concern really seriously.
Yeah.
And they, like, pushed her to get this, like, really awesome result. And I thought that was really cute.
Yeah.
And also, like, as an adult, you never genuinely are, like, trying to be cool. Like, it's very bad to, like, try to do something in a cool way. It's, like, best to just, like, pretend that like it just naturally happens or something like that.
Right.
So I really have to applaud her for like she has no airs about her. Nothing about her says like I'm above trying to let people know that I'm trying not to look like a dork.
Right.
And I think that's so cool.
I know.
That's like the coolest way to be. Cool.
It is. I know. You come away and you're like, your future's bright, kid.
Yeah.
You're a go-getter.
She's got gumption. I like that.
Things are going to happen for you. All right, so I guess that's everything I have.
Parting is such sweet sorrow. I really enjoyed this. This was interesting. I feel like I've been in like a hot seat. I am sweating.
Uh-huh.
unlike Hillary. Thank you so much for coming. This was great. This was great. You were great. I guess you were like a, what do they call it? A pinch hitter?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, isn't that what it's called?
Yes.
If someone like is not the regular
nice callback
hitter, right? Mm-hmm. Baseball. I learned a lot.
Thanks. It was really fun to be on the show.
Oh, I'm glad we were able to find you.
Yeah. It was a tough booking. I'm five desks away.
Yeah, Okay, so just to recap the shows you heard today on Alex's playlist for me, in this order, were WTF with Marc Maron, Another Round, and How to Do Everything. Links to these shows can be found at our website, gimletmedia.com/sampler. Stay tuned after the credits for a clip from our next show. This episode was produced by Chris Neary, Matthew Nelson, Rose Reed, Sarah Abdurrahman, and myself. It was edited by Peter Clowney, Caitlin Kenny, and Annie Rose Strasser. Our theme music was made by Mike Avellian. Our new ad music was made by Mark Phillips. And our old ad music, which you heard a bit of at the top, is by Build Buildings. Other original music in the show was written and performed by Peter Kokoma. This episode was mixed by David Herman and Rick Kwan. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media. Next week on Sampler, I'll be joined by Heaven and Tracy from Another Round, and we will discuss the finer points of Southern pride.
When she was like, yeah, I'm Beyonce, I'm married to Jay-Z, I can buy and sell your entire generation. However, I'm still a Bama. I'm still country. And like the accent is just like going off every which way. And I was like, I'm so